This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hour three as we roll along this morning on Wake Up Call. Glad you could be with us. Glenn Davis, the voice of the Houston Dynamo, also host of Soccer Matters, is going to join us to talk World Cup this hour. Monday, the United States will take on Wales in their opening match of the World Cup. Cup in Qatar, however you want to pronounce it. Anyway, it's one of the premier events in the globe. It's the premier event in the globe. You can argue with the Olympics with the multiple events, but not this. This is so unique and so different in that the only focus of what is going on and where the global attention is going to be on one sport for one champion and the pursuit of that one champion. And I think that's what makes this different from the Olympics. The Olympics is a whole bunch of athletes all getting together and everybody kind of coming in and unified, and we're going to make some friends and we're going to have some competition. And you may like badminton and may not like track and field, or you may like swimming and you may like the pole vault. But in the end, in the World Cup, it's about the matches and it's about soccer and it's about the way the country is unified watching this all together. It's the one thing that we watch and root for. There is nothing else. We all watch the Super Bowl, but we may not all be rooting for the same thing in the Super Bowl. But when the United States plays, we all gather for that one thing. And it's different than the Olympics because, like I said, with multiple sports, my attention might be on one thing, your attention might be on the other, and we're not sharing the same moment. But this is where we will be sharing the same moment. So Monday at 2 o'clock Eastern time, right, the United States is going to hit the pitch against Wales, and it is going to be something that the United States is now going to be immersed in, something that we weren't 4 years ago when it was in Russia. You know, again, these moments don't come along very, very often. In fact, the United States, because it hadn't been in the World Cup in 8 years now, we haven't had that. But it's for a country that gets so divided on everything now, right, where you can say, like, I like Big Macs. And then they say, why? You think the Whopper is disgusting? No, I just like them more. Like, we're at a point where we hate each other for every little thing. And everything, especially on social media, divides us. This is the one event that we haven't had in 8 years that can bring us together. And bring us together. We can go into a bar and not worry about people's politics or where they stand on the latest issues or which candidate they like or where, you know, whether or not they like Big Macs over Whoppers. But we can all root for Team USA Monday at 2 o'clock Eastern time and watch the World Cup when the United States takes on Wales. We'll have Glenn Davis later on this hour to ask him about Team USA and the situation in Qatar in terms of where the United States stands amongst the powers of the world. Next.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. All right, so I got a unique story here that's coming from the NFL, but I don't think it's unique that it had never been talked about before, but I think it's unique because now who's bringing it up? So Aaron Rodgers says, yeah, by the way, the NFL, we should be playing on grass everywhere. Everywhere. He made this comment because there's been some concern that the artificial turf or the sort of semi-turf that they're using now is causing too many non-contact injuries. Boy, I'll tell you right now, would these guys even survive in the 70s where it was just concrete with like green paint on top of it? Back in the day, like at Three Rivers Stadium and places like that. Playing Riverfront Stadium.
Astrodome.
Yeah, the Astrodome. That thing will tear your soul apart. Are you kidding me? Goodness gracious.
They're soft.
Yeah, so this story is not new. We've had this story, but is it new because, or is it more interesting because good old Aaron Rodgers is weighing in on it? Is that what makes this story unique and interesting? Is it now Rodgers who likes to be outspoken on everything? Because he threw a twist into this that I do think is worth mentioning. It is one thing when the Players Association says, hey, we'd like to ban all of the film turf, which is what is being used now. Giants, Jets, Lions, Vikings, Saints, Colts, and Bengals all use this sort of turf that the NFLPA says causes a lot of non-contact injuries. The league has said there's no correlation difference between the non-contact injuries that you're seeing on grass to this particular turf that is used in these places. So Aaron Rodgers chimes in because this is what Aaron Rodgers does. He says, quote, this to me is player safety. expanding to 17 games was about monetary gain, so this would be putting money where your mouth is if it, player safety is important. So this is sort of, again, a shot. Like, hey, you wanted to go to 17 games. Eventually, you'd like to go to 18 games. But you know what? At the same time, you were screaming about player safety and concussions and all of that when we convinced you of it. But you still went to more football games when we as a union weren't happy with that. But nevertheless, we did it anyway. And it was all about money. Now, if you really care about player safety, you'd get rid of this certain turf and we'd all be back on natural grass. I am no, what do you call those people? Horticulturists? Is that what they are? The people that know plants?
Sure.
All right, I don't know. How do you grow grass in a dome?
That's
do you
a
grow
great
it somewhere
question.
And bring it in? Like, if you're the Superdome, how do you put grass in the Superdome? Like, so that's what I'm wondering. I don't know if that now they say, like, in Arizona, they have pallets of, like, grass that they bring out for the field. I've never even thought
well,
about
this. I also
this,
know
even
in Arizona,
this.
Like, which is it's incredible to me. They grow the grass outside the dome.
Yeah.
And then they wheel it back
they
in.
They wheel it in. They're on those pallets.
Yeah, it's on a conveyor belt.
Yeah, that's no. Maybe they need to do that
at
these places and say, all right, we'll do that.
But at the same time, I mean, this new turf is supposed to be sometimes even more forgiving than grass.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be. Again, it's not the tear your skin off artificial turf in the 70s and 80s. It's supposed to have some give, but they're saying your cleats get caught up. Remember Odell Beckham at the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Got a little caught up in that stuff.
Hey, maybe that's a SoFi thing.
Maybe that is. Maybe
you know,
that
we
is.
Run it, I mean, you know, let's – I doesn't Ford Field, they have turf, right?
I got to think so, right?
I never hear anything coming out of Ford Field.
So what they're saying, I guess there is – I guess there is some places, there must be some places that use a different kind of, what they're saying is this is slit film turf,
yeah,
right?
Cheaper brand.
Really hard to, it doesn't come off the tongue very easily, so come up with some other term for this. So they're saying that it's put together, you know, that's brought together. So I guess, but like, for example, when soccer games. Right? When they have soccer games at these stadiums, they have to play them on grass, right? Like you have to play a soccer game on grass. You can't play it on turf.
Right.
So like if you're MetLife Stadium.
Well, okay.
Okay, if you're let me finish the thought real quick.
Yeah.
If you're at MetLife Stadium and you say, we're gonna bring an exhibition Premier League game here, doesn't the Premier League go, it better be on grass, real grass, not that fake stuff. And so they go, okay, then they take it out and they grow grass? So why don't they just grow grass for the NFL?
Right.
Like, when we have the World Cup, all of these stadiums better have grass that they want to play them in. Not this fake turf. But I don't know. I mean, again, but to me, the story is really about Aaron Rodgers because he's getting a lot more vocal. And he's been very vocal most of his career. But it feels like now he feels like, hey, you know what? See, here's the thing with Rodgers. He's 38 years old. How many more years does he have? If they do go to all grass, it ain't going to be tomorrow. It's going to be a while before they do it. So at least he's laying the groundwork for future players. I'm just thinking that there's a way to do it. But I don't think I can't think for a second that I'm going to say this. This is not going to come out the way I want, but I'm going to just say it anyway. Because I'm about to accuse the league of something here. Do you think the league is going to be worried about torn ACLs and knee injuries and things like that? Or do they just care about concussions? So do they say, like, when the league comes down to the players union, do they go, look, if you injected us with truth serum, here's what we'd say. We only care about concussions. That seems to be the one thing that we really want to make sure we can get a handle on the best way we possibly can. Banged up elbows, banged up knees, twisted ankles, all that other stuff. Sorry, that's just the price we play for playing in the National Football League. We're not going to put a bunch of money into grass to save people's knees and ankles. Learn to play on this stuff. Now, helmets, we'll redesign the helmet. We'll put in a protocol because brain damage is serious enough to us. But you'll overcome a knee injury. Don't worry. Yeah, we may miss a star or two, but you know what? We're not going to be growing grass and putting grass in the stadiums to protect knees and ankles and things like that. I kind of think I could see the league going in that direction. Because the league is like, look, the data doesn't show any more risk of being on grass than turf. So, no, we're not going to be growing grass inside the dome in Minnesota. And, no, we're not going to be growing grass inside Ford Field. And, no, we're not going to be wheeling it into MetLife Stadium. We're not going to be wheeling it into Lucas Oil Stadium. We're not going to be wheeling it in other places as well. Cincinnati, you play in an outdoor stadium. Grow some grass if you want to. We don't care. But we are not going to go nuts on this little sort of issue between turf and grass. Now, the Packers play on a synthetic fiber that is brought together with Kentucky bluegrass, so it's not pure grass at Lambeau Field. That makes a little bit of sense. But I don't know. It's just like Aaron Rodgers making some noise. So, I don't know. It's better than what it used to be. It used to be really bad. Like it used to be, you want to hear some stories. The Steelers once were accused by the Raiders of not turning the heaters on underneath the turf at Three Rivers Stadium and on the sides. So what the Steelers were accused of doing by the Raiders were that they had the pipes that run underneath it, so you run hot water through it, and it's supposed to melt the ice that's on top of the turf. They didn't turn the pipes on for the sidelines, like the ends of the field. So the wide receivers for the Raiders, which were a threat to the Steelers in the playoffs, weren't getting the same traction. So what they did was they narrowed the field a bit to the more playable side was really, you know, off of the tackles in the tight end a couple of yards. But the sidelines, no, that was like ice. That's what Al Davis accused the Steelers of doing back in the day. That stuff must have been horrifying to play on. In the wintertime, it must have been just a disaster.
Yes.
Right? I see like video of like, I remember watching when I was younger, I watched the Freezer Bowl. And that was between the Chargers and the Bengals in the AFC title game in 81. And that's where, like, the windshield got to, like, minus 50. It was freezing. Dan Fouts didn't wear gloves. Says he still feels the effects in his fingers to this day whenever he's cold. And that stadium, that field, looked like they were playing on absolute concrete. Imagine being thrown down on that thing.
No, I don't even want to.
It makes me cringe thinking about it.
I get the shivers.
Yeah.
I'm like sitting there like, oh, God. I mean, just
like it's 20 below zero outside. The wind is cutting through you like a knife. And somebody's 250 pounds is slamming you into the turf.
What is it like when like a motorcycle rider, you get road rash?
Yeah, right.
Or, you know, we're just...
I'm getting the chills right now.
Yeah, just layers of skin just ripped off of you. Yeah, you may not have a broken bone or anything, but that hurts worse. I mean, they always say, like, you know, a paper cut hurts more than being stabbed by a knife.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't imagine. Exactly.
You ever watch that movie, The Thing, with Kurt Russell back in the day? It was a horror movie back in the 80s. Nevertheless, it's a movie about an alien that was, like, getting inside people, right? And the whole movie, you've got bodies exploding, and it's pretty gory. But nevertheless, the one scene, they are all sitting in a room. They got to do a blood test. One guy takes a knife and cuts his finger, and it makes you squirm unlike anything else in the movie. Guts are pouring out of a guy. Nah. But the moment the guy goes, all right, you're right. The peeling of your skin, skin just coming off in the cold weather on the 1970s and 80s artificial turf must have just been, God. There's nothing you can pay me to do. That would have been awful.
There's no way today's NFL players could handle it. They're coddled.
They can't play on giveaway on turf that's kind of light grass.
Even though it was a dumb mistake on the Eagles' part, you know, the fact that unnecessary roughness was called against those two Eagles players, mainly the one Eagles players who hit Tyler Heinicke after he went down to a knee.
Yeah.
And virtually gave himself up. The fact that an unnecessary roughness penalty, I mean, you have like guys who played in the 80s who are just laughing hysterically at the television.
No kidding. No kidding.
You know, I mean, yeah, because I mean, today's players are coddled. And I 100% agree with you. I think the NFL is more concerned with CTE, with concussions, than they are with someone getting a torn ACL.
They're not going to, yeah, you're right. They're not going to dump millions and millions of dollars to prevent an ankle injury.
No, I mean, think about it. a torn ACL, like even in the mid-90s, career ending.
Yep.
I think of Kajana Carter. You know,
The one
always comes out of my mind because he was a highly drafted running back. Everyone thought he was going to have a great career. Tears his ACL, done. Career over.
Yep.
An ACL today, I mean, you know, usually say, oh, he's going to be out a year. Then you had like somebody like Adrian Peterson's like, hold my beer. I'll be back in 7 months.
That's right. Yeah. 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 The NFL is not going to lose its mind when people are complaining about.
But CTE,
CTE, yeah.
They don't understand it.
They saw it as one of the killer factors of their sport. They saw it was something they better get a handle on and better get a handle on quickly because that issue became so hot and so big. And they saw it all the way down. They saw it all the way down to youth where they saw the participation of the sport was really declining. And they said, well, we better get a handle on it because things trickle down. So if we do it here, they'll do it all the way down there. But as far as grass fields to invest money so you can avoid ankle injuries, well, you can anyway. Like ankle injuries are still going to show up? No, they're not going to do that. All right, coming up, it's good to be the king, especially on a certain city. We'll talk about that next when we get back from Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we got a little bit of a World Cup primer for you coming up in about 10 minutes. Glenn Davis will join us, voice of the Houston Dynamo and also host of Soccer Matters. We'll talk World Cup in the United States going to Qatar and for the World Cup that is coming up Monday afternoon. They open up against Wales. They're in a group with Iran and England, so we'll talk about the United States. We'll talk about the World Cup overall, some of the powerful countries that you'll need to know. So you ever have that there's one person, always that one person that you know of, maybe personally, where for whatever reason, the cosmos just works out for them? Just whatever it may be, just however life throws them like some things and it just some whatever reason, it always just works out. Like they may lose a job, but they get a better job, or they run into this problem and they get better for it, right? It's just one of those things that happens to certain individuals. It is good to be Jimmy Garoppolo right now, isn't it? Isn't it good to be Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, really good to be Jimmy Garoppolo.
I know where you're going with this.
So Jimmy Garoppolo is probably the most handsome quarterback in the NFL, right?
Ever.
They're making a Subway commercial where his grandmother even comments on how handsome her grandson is in the ad. So Jimmy Garoppolo led his team last year to the NFC Championship game, but they drafted Trey Young. Oh, no. What are we going to do? We can. He's been to a Super Bowl, NFC title game. Like I said, it's just he's not an exceptional quarterback, but he just continues to be good enough to win games. But he's got the looks, right? So what happens? Trey Lance, ankle injury. Oh, guess what? Guess you get your old job back. And now you've added Christian McCaffrey to this team, and they're now 5-4, and now they're on a bullet train. I really believe they're on a bullet train to be one of the best teams in the NFC. Last night, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, and Jimmy Garoppolo go to the Chase Center to attend a Warriors game. Garoppolo's sitting in the front row. The dance team comes out. The dance team performs. What does the dance team do at the end? They all walk by to make sure they say hello to Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo says hello to them. You know who got ignored? Christian McCaffrey. You know who got ignored? George Kittle. You know who didn't get ignored by all those women? Jimmy Garoppolo. It is good to be the king. That's all I got to say. It was so blatant, too. They all were, like, making sure they walked by, shook his hand, smiled, waved at him. He's waving back. And, by the way, Kittle I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo is in a relationship or not, but I know
I think Kittle is married. I hope he isn't,
just so he can have a good moment.
He better not be. He needs to live his best life right now.
He's 31 years old. He's a good-looking, rich athlete in the city of San Francisco. Like, enjoy your time.
Has one of 32 jobs on the planet.
That's right. Christian McCaffrey is dating that supermodel. So
Olivia.
I don't even know her name.
Yeah,
Olivia something.
Is it is he dating Olivia Culpo or is that somebody else?
I think so. I think that's maybe who that's it is. Him? That sounds right.
There's a TikTok trend, right? And it's an old trend. You know, it's that game you play called Smash or Pass.
Yeah.
Right, where you see an attractive person of the opposite sex and you decide whether to, you know, whether you're going to pass on them or you're going to, you know, the other one. And somebody did it with NFL quarterbacks. And by the time it got to Jimmy, I mean, once the picture popped up, she's like, oh, you don't even have to ask.
Right. Jimmy Garoppolo is that. So last night, it was just a cool video last night of a guy just basking in knowing who he was.
Phenomenal.
Knowing who he is. Knowing what he is, and just these gorgeous dance team girls fawning themselves all over Jimmy Garoppolo.
How many other players have we known that, you know, openly dated a porn star?
Yeah.
And we were like, good on you, Jimmy. Where the others were, you know, others like, oh, come on, you can do better than that. It's like, you know, live your best life. I know Jimmy just gets a free pass for everything.
Gets a free pass for everything. And by the way, the girls didn't pay any attention to who was around them.
Probably didn't know who they were.
They probably didn't know who Christian McCaffrey was because he's not a San Francisco famous person. But they know who Jimmy Garoppolo is, for crying out loud. They made it very clear who Jimmy Garoppolo was. It was just a funny piece of video. But in all seriousness, outside of the attention that he was getting from the Golden State dance team, doesn't it feel like life is just working out for Jimmy G in some weird way? Right? He's not very good at playing quarterback in the National Football League, yet he's parlayed it into an outstanding career. Like they wanted to get rid of him. They just kept him. They couldn't get rid of him. Then, boom, here's the injury. Here's the door open for you again. And he just walked right in on it. Boom, I'm good. And now they added an offensive weapon to him. There's an old, the 1980s, there was a movie called Broadcast News. William Hurt plays an anchor. And he's not the brightest bulb, but he's good looking. And Albert Brooks plays another guy that's like a producer with the news organization. He wants to anchor, but he struggles with this idea that the company just keeps promoting William Hurt's character, just moves him up until eventually he becomes the lead Peter Jennings-like main anchor for the network. While he's been working his tail off, he knows everything, he's smart, but he doesn't have it. And William Hurt's character has it. Jimmy Garoppolo is in that same boat. He's not on the same level as anybody that we've been talking about this season in terms of playing that position. He's not even Tua, like where we go, now we get it. Tua can play. Like he's not Jalen Hurts. He's definitely not on that upper echelon of a Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. No, we're not near that. But what does he do every time he goes out there? He wins games. He wins enough games. And I mean, you're talking about a guy that if you made a list if you took the list of all the quarterbacks that are playing right now and you said, here's the list, point to the quarterbacks that have been to a Super Bowl and a conference title game within the last 4 years, right? Patrick Mahomes, check, right? Tom Brady, check. Jimmy Garoppolo, check. It's not Josh Allen, right? It's not anybody else. It's not Dak Prescott. It's this guy. It's not Matt Stafford. It's not Joe Burrow. It's this guy. And it's bizarre. He's making, what, $20-something million a year? 31, very good looking, living his best life. And his best life is whatever the cosmos determines is in his best interest. Shouldn't this guy be backing up some quarterback in Florida or something? Shouldn't he be carrying a clipboard wearing a hat? That's what we all thought was going to happen to him, right? Like, oh, well, they can't really expect to win with him. They win almost all the time with him.
All
and again,
the time.
He's not great. That's the whole thing. He's not great.
But he's good enough.
He's good enough.
And then on top of that, he's good looking.
And he's good looking. And the dance team couldn't help themselves. Had to go say hi. Had to let it be known that, yep, we know you. We got you. We're there. Got to be good to be the king. I'm telling you, good to be the king. Glenn Davis will join us. We'll talk World Cup coming up next. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, the World Cup starts next week. The United States will play Monday afternoon against Wales. And then it is real. I mean, this is one of the most exciting periods of sports time that we get once every 4 years. Glenn Davis joins us. He's the Houston Dynamo broadcaster. He's also host of Soccer Matters to help us get a little bit of a World Cup primer. How are you, Glenn?
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for having me on. How can we not be good? Like you said, it's World Cup time.
Yeah, Glenn, so let's go back 4 years when the United States did not participate in the World Cup. In a way, as the United States is formulating its plan for 2022, did it hurt their growth? Did it help get them focused? Take us through the four-year journey to where we are now.
Yeah, I think it was actually a bit of a cleansing. You know, initially, I think I was upset like everybody. Hey, no U.S. in the World Cup. It's a moment we miss to grow the game again exponentially. But the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, now we got to accelerate the development process of a lot of these young players, you know, the Weston McKennies, the Tyler Adamses, the Christian Pulisics, and this becomes their national team. I think it's had some ups and downs. There's no doubt it's acquired a lot of experience. It's gotten some great results in tournaments against Mexico. It's kind of limping into this tournament here with some guys with some injuries and everything. But, you know, if you're looking big picture, it's an opportunity for these guys who are very young, many of them, you know, 20, 21, 22, 23, to get a World Cup under their belt. In 4 years, they're in their mid-20s, and then the World Cup's going to be held here in the United States, Canada, and Mexico.
Greg Berhalter, what do we know about him? What is his experience on this stage?
Yeah, well, there's only one guy who's been on this stage on this entire roster, and that's DeAndre Yedlin, who I don't think will be a starter, which was two World Cups back. But, you know, Greg Berhalter got the jobs. I think in some ways it was a little bit controversial, but he's engineered this team now. He's had experience coaching in Europe. He's a former U.S. men's national team defender. He has played in a World Cup. He's got that experience. I think coaching's a very different thing, but, you know, a really short amount of time. You know, they've only been over there. It's kind of bizarre because of the timing that you don't really have a lot of preparation as far as a couple of weeks together. So they're getting thrust right into it on Monday against Wales.
This time of year that we're doing the World Cup, that is not the summertime, now we're into fall, winter, does that affect the way all the teams around the world have had to prepare for this and put plans together and get players ready for this?
Oh, no question. I mean, look, a lot of schedules in Europe and places were condensed, including Major League Soccer. So you got some guys in Major League Soccer who are going into this thing and might even start, likely will start, that haven't played a game in 3 or 4 weeks when it comes to real competitive soccer. And then you got other guys who've been pushing it out, you know, playing in the Premier League and the Bundesliga up until seven days ago. So it really is bizarre. I mean, look, 12 years ago when Qatar got the World Cup, everybody went just kind of like, what? You know, yeah. And all you got to do is watch a Netflix show called About FIFA, and you'll understand why it is in Qatar, and it's a country that has really no soccer history.
In terms of the way the United States is developing talent, producing talent, organizing soccer, has that process changed? Are we doing the same things we've done for years, or was there a wake-up call on how a guy like Christian Pulisic has grown in the country and developed in the country, and players even beyond that?
Well, I think there's a lot of tremendous coaches all over the country. Major League Soccer teams now are entrusted with developing the best of the best, although there's still a lot of players, I think, that get through the cracks. But I think the big thing was is many, many years ago, you know, there was a resistance to U.S. players playing in Europe, and Jurgen Klinsmann was really pushing for this. He got a lot of pushback. In the end, he was 100% correct. We got players now on Juventus, Barcelona, Chelsea, Dortmund. I mean, all these big historic clubs in Europe now. Now, they may not be the star player on the team, but they're all starters and contributing. And, you know, that European experience has hardened a lot of these guys, has really gathered them a lot of experience at a young age. So he was correct. It also added to the buying and selling of players in Major League Soccer and got them into the business of buying and selling players.
obviously, with being the voice of the Dynamo and entrenched in Major League Soccer.
Well, I'm not the voice of the Dynamo anymore because there is no more regional TV for anybody because of the
sorry
Apple
about
MLS
that.
Deal. So I am not the voice of the Dynamo anymore.
Well, I will cross that off my thing, but you were. So
well,
I know
I'm just saying. I'm
you
just
know
saying
you were.
A lot of great regional commentators that won't be doing the storytelling locally because of this deal. It's just different now.
All right, but I want to ask you about Major League Soccer and its influence in the United States. Has it, as you've seen in the 25-plus years that it's been in existence, has it had its influence on young people and the growth of soccer, knowing that there is a place to go and continue playing soccer rather than sort of disappearing in their teenage years?
Oh, I think no question. Yeah, no question. And supporting MLS is a league called the USL Championship. So there is tiered divisions. There's levels for differing players if you want to try and make the move to extend your playing career. Major League Soccer has done a great job of entrenching itself. Sometimes it's a little overly commercial for me, but I think sports is in general in the entire world now. But there are certain markets that just are remarkable for soccer, the Seattles, the Portlands, the Austins. Cincinnati has turned into a very, very good market. So there's a lot of great things going on. And, yes, that symbol of next level for kids on a dirt field in a town, it's there.
This is going to bring a lot of people to the televisions, and a lot of them are going to be casual. Every now and then, wake me up when the United States is doing something in the World Cup. So Christian Pulisic is going to be brand new to a lot of people that are going to be tuning into this. Is he different than the Landon Donovans and Lexi Lawless and Tony Miolas and the stars that we've had in the past? Is he a different type of player?
Well, he's a creative player. He's our talisman. He's coming in, you know, with spotty playing time, playing against Chelsea. He's a highly talented young man. I think this is more about the collective for the United States. Honestly, with these young guys, they all really like each other. They love playing for each other. They feel they're on a mission as young men to do something special with the national team. It's guys like Weston McKennie. It's guys like Tyler Adams. It's guys like Yunus Musa, Tim Weah, Christian Pulisic, Jesus Ferreira. I think there's a real esprit de corps here. This is what we feel. This is what we're hearing on the outside. So I think from the standpoint of U.S. success, it's really going to be about the collective. And there may be somebody that really creeps into being a star for the U.S. in this tournament on this platform, this stage, 5 billion people watching that we might not have expected.
What's the expectation from people like you that really know the ins and outs of this and the players that are involved and the other countries that are involved? What's the reasonable expectation from the group stage? Should they get out of group stage?
Oh, I think you have to. I mean, I think that's the standard that's been set for the United States. And then can you go deeper? But the first thing is getting out of the group stage. You've got difficult games. Wales has got a ton of Premier League players, including Gareth Bale, who played in MLS with LAFC. It's a first World Cup for them in like over 40 years. So, you know, they're going to want it just as bad. Of course, you got England, and then you got Iran, who's got, you know, players in the Bundesliga, very, very talented players. So the margins are going to be slim. It's going to be close, but I don't think there's any question as the United States now at this point in soccer, I don't care that you got three other traditional sports. You got to get out of the group.
We kind of know the countries. If you follow this even marginally, you kind of know the countries that are powerhouses. Are there any new countries that are being, hey, watch out from? Is there a Croatia in 2022?
Well, there was in 2018, right? The Croatias, right. The Denmarks had great runs. I think there is a distinct possibility we're going to see something like that just based on the timing of a World Cup that's never been held in the winter, the fact that it's in Qatar, which is a different deal. I'm sure the traditional teams, the Argentinas, the Brazils, you know, England got to the semis the last time. These teams will be expected to do well. But I do think, you know, based on injury and fatigue and all these other things that we on the outside sometimes don't see, a lot of that camaraderie, team culture, all of this stuff will play a part. And I do think we'll see some surprises and teams that maybe we weren't expecting go on great runs.
Are you seeing the sport tick? Is it now ticking upwards? I mean, it was a big, big blow not to go 4 years ago. And like you said earlier, it could have really hurt the growth of it. Is it on the upward swing? Is it on? Are we reaching a point now where we're going to see this get better and better and better down the road? Or do we just have to take each period individually and see just where the thermometer reads?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a little bit of both. I think what most people don't understand, and a lot of people that are foreigners don't understand about the United States, is we have three other traditional sports here in baseball, football, and basketball. That's before we get into hockey, which is a big sport in this country, lifestyle, all these other things that maybe aren't applicable to an Ecuador or an Argentina or other countries. It's just very different, and it's a sports landscape that offers a tremendous amount of choices to young people. In those countries I mentioned, every single young male and maybe now female want to be professional soccer players in a lot of cases, and it's in and around them all day long. It's in the media, it's clubs in their cities. So from that standpoint, we do have to recognize the differences, but I think 100% things are incrementally growing beautifully. The sport still has challenges in this country. Sometimes it's too political for me and too commercial, as we mentioned, but I think it's a little bit of both.
Glenn, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the World Cup, and I know we'll probably have you on to kind of help us sort out what we're seeing so far. I really appreciate it.
Whatever you need, Tony. Thank you very much for having me on.
You got it. Glenn Davis joins us to talk World Cup. That gets underway for the United States Monday afternoon against Wales. Some thoughts on that when we come back on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Glenn Davis for talking about World Cup. So, I'm curious. I'm big picture guy, as you guys know when you listen to this show, and I am curious about that sort of last question. You know, where exactly, like, could, if you were to grade it in terms of where we are as a developing soccer country to be part of this World Cup group, where are we on the scale, and is the scale going up, or do you have to go, well, in this 4 period we're up, but then this 4 period we're down, and in this 4 year period we're up, and in this 4 period we went down again? Because I think that's one of the reasons that the United States not making the World Cup. I mean, it, like I was saying earlier, if you really think about it, we have not done this as a country for 8 years, and think about where we were 8 years ago compared to where we are now, like just as a country in general. Right, we are much more divided on everything. We're not unified on anything. We can't seem to draw a consensus on even the most tragic things in America that happen, that we cannot be brought together on anything. And that's just a political game that I don't like jumping into, but that's where we are
right
now.
No, it's kind of like it's kind of became our identity.
Right, that's it. That's it. And you know, it's funny because we have a joke in this town that I live in, and I'm sure the joke is similar, but we have a town Facebook page, and it's where people can go, what's the best place to eat seafood? And you go, I like Joe's place. But inevitably it pours into negativity. It pours into ridiculous, insulting conversation, no matter what you say. You could post on that page, I'm looking for the best doctor for my baby. And somebody will put, well, maybe you should have thought about it before you had a baby.
Right.
Like, seriously, it's like we are that country. Like, we are that country now. This is, as I said, there not one sporting event that we have in this country where we can all root together. It does not matter where you are in the political aisle. It does not matter if you're on one side or the other. We can all root for Team USA, and we have not had that here in 8 years. Outside of that, I'm really like he said, it was a chance for the United States to clean house. Let's clean house.
Cleansing.
I
love that answer.
I love that. It was like let's get this all out of here
true.
And done. You know, it's like film the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
There was a period of time we were losing the Ryder Cup, and we were losing all the time. And finally, somebody said, we're not doing this right. We're not doing this right. And now that's a little different because we're not expected to win the World Cup. So we're not, you know, like the United States is expected to win the Ryder Cup. And it's like a Team USA in basketball. If you watch the documentary on the Redeem Team, the Redeem Team had the ability of resetting to greatness, right? We're not resetting to greatness.
I look at it like the NCAA tournament, right? We give great success if you make the Sweet 16. We say that's a successful tournament, or you make the Elite Eight, you make it to the following weekend. And that's all we're really wanting. If we can make it to the knockout stage, I think it's a success.
I agree with you. So It's been a long time. Like, listen, Ron, you probably know more about this than me, but I feel like the United States soccer, United States, I've been hearing about my whole life. And yet, I just want to see that next place where we go, that next place that we can take it.
Now, winning a World Cup, that's, you know, I don't even know if we'll ever see that in our lifetime.
I don't think we'll see it in our lifetime.
That's impossible.
That feels like, you know, it feels like if you get to the knockout stages, like if you can get by round one, and then it's like exponentially harder than just winning. Like you can win round one, but in order to round two, you may not even be on the same pitch.
The FIFA, the game, the EA Sports game, right, when they did their simulation, had us meeting up with France. If that happens and we do somehow end up going against France, it would be a huge victory for us to lose 1-0, predicted.
Yeah.
If we're able to hold them 1-0, they'd be like, oh, my God.
They're the defending champs, aren't they?
France.
Did they win the last cup in 2018?
I think you're right. Yeah.
So that would be remarkable. But yeah, like the idea that you would get through like two or three phenomenal
France
countries.
France and Germany and Brazil, you know, that's your road to the final. Nah, it's not happening.
No, that's very unlikely. But again, it's we haven't been in a place together in a long time. I'm really looking forward to what we are Monday afternoon. I can't wait when they play Wales. All right, as we continue, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us on a good Wednesday for you.